The news from Lake Wobegon is brought to you by Total Cereal. Total Cereal gives you 100% of the daily value of 11 essential vitamins and minerals, a vitamin for every caribou in Lake Wobegon.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. We're sitting here just on the verge of summer, just on the verge of the smell of cut grass and the smell of wet bathing suits and fresh tomatoes. You know, all of it out there in front of us. Can't wait to get to it. We've been deprived of it for so long. Although there is a limit to how much you can enjoy anything in particular. Rhubarb, for example, this is the time of the season when we have such a vast surplus of rhubarb. People go to church with big plastic bags full of rhubarb and hand them off to people, forgetting that those people gave them their rhubarb just last week. There is a limit to how much rhubarb you can take. And the rhubarb that you got from those people last week, you took it home and you made it into sauce. And nobody wanted to eat it, which last February they would have killed for it. But now they've had more than enough. There's just a limit to anything in the world. Happiness, bliss, there's a limit to how much you can enjoy it, which is why Baptists go out and drink from time to time. Because there is a limit to blessedness, and then you just have to discover degradation and find out what that is like so you can work your way back. Well, Kate Enquist came back home, the daughter of Pastor and Mrs. Enquist, who left town. They left the church, they left the pastorate and went down to Minneapolis back during Holy Week. She came back, she graduated from Athena College, and she came back to the parsonage to get her stuff. She came back in her Dalai Lama t-shirt, which says, "Feel free to not understand," and her hair, which is cut short, and her jeans and her sandals. She came back without many prospects. She came back to this town that she'd been so eager to leave four years before, and now she suddenly felt nostalgic for our little town. Here were the places where she hung out, and the people she hung out with are no longer there. We are a great exporter of people. She walked around up to the cemetery where the kids from high school used to hang out in the evenings in spring and summer and fall and lie and look up at the stars and talk about life and gather a large idea of it for themselves. She went to the parsonage to clean out her stuff from the closet and packed up 16 boxes full of stuff. The interim pastor, Pastor Barbara Hamm, is living there now, and Kate was sort of hoping for an invitation to spend the summer living in her old house, but that invitation was not forthcoming. Pastor Hamm asked her where she was going to be spending the summer, and Kate said, "I don't know." And that was the point where the offer should have come. There was a blank, and it was not filled in. And so she moves on to other things, as we all do. The beautiful smell of fish, the water, were coming right up to our fishing season, fishing for walleyes there on Lake Wobegon. Takes more time to catch walleyes, 3 hours on average, because walleyes take longer to think about it. It's an intelligent fish, and it thinks slowly, and then it works through all of its options, and it takes the bait, and you pull it up. I let most of them go, walleyes, out of respect for their intellectual powers. They did the wrong thing for all the right reasons. And there always is a look of remorse on their faces to the extent that fish have expressions. So I let my walleyes go. Of course, I never have caught that many, nor such big ones. I'd thrive on second chances myself. I've used my second chances 9, 10, 12 times. The payphone rang on Main Street this last Tuesday. This is what's news in my town. The payphone rang. It's in a booth on the corner of Main Street and McKinley. It's just across the street from the Chatterbox Cafe by the Mercantile. This phone hardly ever rings. It's so rare. It was disconnected for a long time, and for all we knew, it still was. But we keep this booth up because men like to duck into it when they have to fart, and they just... You walk in, it's a superstitious thing. The Norwegians say, Du skal ikke gå for din egen pult. You should not walk away from your own fart. And so we go in there, and ever so often that phone does ring, and it's always mysterious when it does. This was a call from somebody in Atlanta, Georgia, and they were asking for somebody named Mitch. According to Mr. Berge, who answered the phone, he was walking by and he picked it up, and he was drunk at the time, so it was hard to know whether to believe him or not. Well, Butch thought maybe it was for him, for Butch. Maybe this was a call from his old army buddy, Al, saying that he was going to pay back the $300, which he's been waiting for 27 years. Hope still persists, but no, it was not a man, it was a woman, Mr. Berge said. He would know that much at least. So Clint Bunsen was thinking maybe it was the woman Mavis whom he met in the bar down in Atlanta when he came down to Atlanta to attend the wedding of his friends Al and Eileen. Maybe it was that woman, Mavis. He met her in a bar, the Cecilia Bar, and she was drinking beer. She was a handsome woman, and she was a wonderful dancer, and he danced a couple of dances with her, and then she sat down and she unbuckled her right leg and she took it off. And she said, "This stump is absolutely killing me, and whoo, it's just so hot in here," she said. "Whoo," she said. She said, "Would you mind if I remove my wig?" And then there she was. She was bald as a bowling ball. And she sat and she sneezed, a powerful sneeze, and her glass eye came flying out of her eye. And he caught it sitting there on the bar stool. He handed it back to her. She put it back in. She said, "This is a problem I've had for years." She said, "In fact, my good eye, the one I can see, sometimes pops out when I sneeze." He said, "Well, isn't that interesting?" She said, "You want to see that?" "No." He said, "No. No, I don't." He said, "No." She said, "My optic cord is 7 inches long. And when I pop it out, I can hold it in my hand and I can see through. You can see through it." Said, "Oh yeah, I can see through it. I can put it behind my head. I can see if my pants are on straight." She said, "No, it's just a special gift. It's a special gift. I don't know where it comes from, and I have the gift of seeing people's futures all too clearly. Yours, for example, I just met you here half an hour ago, and already I know you very well. I know that your sister's name is Pookie. That's your nickname for your sister. And your brother's name is Boots. And your grandma's name is Gam. And your grandpa, he died 3 years ago." Well, that was all true. Clint was impressed. Mavis said, "And I know the woman who you ought to marry if you intend to be happy." "Oh," Clint said. "Do you want me to tell you?" said Mavis. Well, he wasn't sure, because he already was engaged to marry Irene. And what if she didn't name Irene? He'd come back from the Navy, and Irene was angry at him because he had written her postcards and she had written him long letters, and she said, "You don't love me. You don't love anybody. All you think about is just yourself." And to prove to her that he did love her, he promised to marry her, and he was about to in a couple of months. But what if this woman, Mavis, should mention some TV star or some person who was unavailable to him? Then he was laying himself open to a life of bitter regret and disappointment. No, Irene was good enough, he figured. But he always remembered Mavis and always wondered who he should have married if he intended to be happy. He thought about that again this last week when the search committee went down to Minneapolis for the Synod Assembly, the Lutheran Church. Their search committee is searching for a replacement for Pastor Enquist, and their job is cut out for them, and they have to move quickly here. They went down to the Synod Assembly, and they went to a bunch of conferences. There was a conference on spiritual gifts, which gave them the willies, because you were supposed to stand up in turn as they went around the room, and you're supposed to talk about your spiritual gifts and how you were using them, which is something that just absolutely horrifies a Lutheran. We'd just rather die. Rather die than talk about these things. And the Lutherans who enjoy talking about these things are not the sort of people you'd want to spend a long time with. No, they went down to the Synod Assembly. They were looking for some clues on how to go about searching for a new pastor. And they went to a cafe, which was around the corner from the convention center, called Kay's Cafe. It was a very nice little cafe. It had red checked tablecloths, and the coffee was percolated coffee, you know, not the drip kind. And so they liked all of that. And the menu looked good to them. And the waitress was a tall, handsome woman with a notable nose. And she read them the specials, and she told them which were the ones that were worth ordering. Chicken soup was good. Lentil soup was better. Stay away from the tuna salad. Stay away from the seafood pasta. That's no good at all. The pork ribs are okay. They ordered what she recommended, and then she sat down beside them. And she said, "This is going to sound strange, and I wish there were a way I could make this sound normal, but sometimes life is like that. There's just no normal way to put these things." But she said, "You're from Lake Wobegon, and I know that. Don't ask me how I know. But I have had a call to serve your church in Lake Wobegon, which was the last thing I ever expected to happen to me. But one ignores a call at one's own deep peril." She was a Lutheran pastor. She's from New Jersey. Her name is Liz. She had had this call a week before and had told her to go out to Minneapolis and to get a job waitressing at this very cafe. She found a one-way airline ticket in her mailbox. It didn't have her name on it. It had the name Ruth Sundgaard. But she took it to the airport, and even without identification, she got through security. She put her carry-on bag through the scanner, and when she got the carry-on bag out the other end, she opened it, and there was a loaded pistol in it. The Lord at work in mysterious ways to signify to us what we must do. So she came to Minneapolis, and here she was. She said, "You can accept me or not, but I'm coming to Lake Wobegon whether you do or not. Makes no difference, because I'm following the call of the Holy Spirit, and I'm coming." "Well," Clint said, "how do you know? How do you know this is from the Holy Spirit?" She said, "Because my body trembled all over. My hands, my arms, my legs, they shook. I walked and I walked for miles to try to settle myself down. And I could not. I was hot, I was cold, and I dreamed about your town, and I saw it all so clear. And now here I am, and I did not come to bring comfort or bring ease or peace. So if that's what you're looking for, you won't receive it from me, because that's not what I bring. I'm not like most people in the pulpits. I actually believe in what I'm preaching, and so that's my gift to you, if you choose to accept it. And now I do recommend the strawberry shortcake." She brought them 5 slices of strawberry shortcake. She brought 2 with whipped cream and 3 without. She knew the ones who wanted whipped cream and those who wanted it but shouldn't have it. She knew who they were. They had a long conversation with her, and never at any time did she ever ask them how they were. She just seemed to know. Well, that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.